Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast.
Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to this week's episode of Ghost Hunting in New England with your hosts, Amelia.
And Beth.
And how are you today, Beth?
I am just terrific, Amelia. How are you?
I am really good. I did something really fun today. So me and my friend Shelby, we went to the new Salt Cave in Scituate.
Ooh.
It was delightful. We had to book it out 6 weeks in advance. So we've been greatly looking forward to today. Mm-hmm. And Shelby ended up treating me, which was really nice of her to do. So it's me and her 11-month-old son, who's like the cutest baby in the world, super well-behaved. And we just meditated in the salt cave and it was wicked relaxing. 10 out of 10 stars from me. I highly, highly, highly recommend everyone goes to a Himalayan salt cave and zones out.
Very neat. And there's one here in Scituate, Massachusetts. Is that what I hear? Very cool. Do you often go salt caving? I don't even know what that means.
This is my first time I've ever been. I've never been before. And I've always, always, always wanted to go. In fact, I've bought gift cards to other people to go to other salt caves. And I myself have never been. I've just never been able to like work it into my schedule. But a month and a half ago, Shelby was like, there's a new one in Scituate. And I'm like, let's do it.
So now I'm going to assume that we don't have any like natural Himalayan salt here in Eastern Massachusetts.
No. So it's awesome. So what is like, this? You go into a room and there are speakers that come in and play meditation music. And at a certain point, like a guided meditation shows up through the speakers and you sit on anti-gravity chairs and the floor is all salt sand that's been raked with one of those like Zen rakes. You know, the Himalayan salt lamps you can buy, like the pink rocks that light up.
Yeah.
You're in a room of that and it's beautiful and it's relaxing. And then the ceiling, they have like stars. I'm doing air quotes and it's beautiful. It's really nice.
Okay. Well, that sounds fun.
Super relaxing. Very zen. 10 out of 10. Highly recommend.
In all honesty, it sounds a little itchy because I had that problem with my salt rock. Every time I would go near it, I would start itching.
Oh, weird. I'm allergic to that happening. Hey, you're not allergic to salt.
There was something about it.
Weird. So. That's super weird. Yeah.
We got rid of it. I've been better since.
Wow.
It probably had absolutely nothing to do with the salt rock. It was probably allergy season or something. And I just got mad at the salt rock one day.
I have multiple salt rocks in my house. I love them. I swear by them. They're perfect for nightlights too.
Okay. I hear they like clean the air and stuff. And they're supposed to be like really good for you. And
yeah,
I did not like mine. I wanted it out. Anyway, that's my exposure to salt rocks. But apparently there's a whole big cave of them here in Scituate.
There's two. They got two caves in the place.
Two caves. What's the difference between them?
One's big and one's small.
Ooh. So you can have like a private little session in the little cave by yourself.
So we were in the small cave and it was just two of us and a baby. And then if you have the big cave, you can do, I think like five people.
Hmm. Okay.
And they do Reiki on Tuesdays.
Oh, very interesting.
It's very expensive, though. I want to say it's like $160 for an hour of Reiki.
I would imagine it would be expensive. It's in a salt cave in Scituate.
Right on the harbor. Right next to Lucky Fen.
Oh, okay. I don't know where that is either, but I know where the one in Hanover is. I have only been to the one in Scituate in spirit because I've been to the one in Hanover and they have that enormous jumbotron of what's going on in Scituate.
Yeah.
I asked one time if there was a jumbotron in Scituate so you could see what was happening in Hanover. And they said no. And they almost asked me, like acted like it was a really silly question. But I'm like,
it is a silly question.
But why do you have a big jumbo?
So for listeners who don't know, the jumbotron of the Scituate one, because Scituate is on a harbor and they have a back deck in their coffee shop where you sit and you enjoy. And the deck goes out over the ocean. So it's very beautiful. What they have. They don't just like have a counter people like drinking coffee up on the wall.
that would be funny. But the way that the camera points a lot of times, you can see the people sitting on the deck and in the Scituate one. And so I thought it would be a kind of funny and a funny idea if people in Scituate were like looking at us.
All right, Beth. So what are we talking about today?
We're talking about New Hampshire, not to be confused with Old Hampshire.
Live free or die, baby.
Live free or die. Yeah, that's the one. They have the best vanity plates in New Hampshire because you can get like 19 letters on a plate there.
And it's way cheaper than here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why everyone has them in New Hampshire.
Okay. And I think that we were going to focus specifically on haunted cemeteries of New Hampshire.
Ooh.
You say that like you're surprised.
No, I'm just building the suspense for our listeners. I really liked this episode a lot. I was very surprised by not only how many haunted cemeteries are in New Hampshire, but how haunted the cemeteries of New Hampshire are. Because usually cemeteries aren't really haunted, right? Like cemeteries are creepy, but they're not really haunted.
Right.
But these ones, well, I guess that's not true because we did cemeteries of the Freedom Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And those cemeteries were haunted, but not like these cemeteries.
Right. But I would say that for the number of cemeteries that are actually haunted, there are so many more that are not haunted at all. Don't be afraid to live next to a cemetery. My mom always said that it would be a great place to have a house because your neighbors would be very quiet.
I grew up across the street from a cemetery and I always thought zombies were going to come eat me in my sleep.
See, I tend to lean more toward your school of thinking as well, but
yeah. Well, that's why we do this.
Right. Hey, you know, neither one of us has been eaten by a zombie.
Not yet. All right. Who wants to go first?
You're definitely going first.
Okay. My first story comes from Wilton, New Hampshire, which I like because my brother's name is Wilton and it's a very unique name. And
just about to ask.
I like seeing places named Wilton because I love my brother. And you know what? God bless my brother because he got me some slippers today. And so I am wearing my very fuzzy new slippers. So thank you so much, Wilton.
Hi, Will. Where are my slippers?
tell him your feet are hurting and he'll get you slippers with insoles. He swears by them.
Very nice.
He's a good brother. So enough about my slippers. And on to Vale End Cemetery in Wilton, New Hampshire. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. It is said to be one of the most haunted cemeteries in all the region. There are many old gravestones there that have stood for more than 200 years, which makes it kind of interesting because a lot of graveyards you'll find have kind of this variety of older stones, newer stones, families that have been going on for years and years and years. This one's almost exclusively from over 200 years ago. So according to the Wilton Heritage Committee, the Vale End Cemetery was first used as early as 1752 as a burial ground for a 19-year-old baby named Phoebe Crumb. To this day, the whereabouts of her grave remains unknown. The cemetery officially came into service in 1780, becoming the first of Wilton's five cemeteries. Paranormal investigator Shane Sirois told the Ledger Transcript, quote, "There are tons of cemeteries out there that people say are haunted, but they aren't. This is the only active cemetery I've ever been to. And it's not because of the cemetery. It's because of the land and the properties around it. And it's not evil. It's peaceful." The most notable grave at Vale End is that of Mary Ritter Spaulding, a.k.a. the Blue Lady. Spaulding was married in 1975 and went on to have seven children before dying in April of 1808. According to folklore, Spaulding was a well-mannered woman who regularly attended church and healed others with prayers and herbs. Many local residents of Wilton have reported seeing Spaulding, most referring to her as the Blue Lady, as she is most often seen over her grave appearing as a bright blue column of light. From reports and from folklore, the light vibrates with energy and towers at 6 feet tall, floating a foot or two over her headstone. According to KSCEquinox.com, some encounters at the grave include strange experiences with a tennis ball. Quote, "My best friend Tyler went there after curfew with his friend and found a tennis ball by her grave. He threw the ball into the bushes right next to her grave. Less than 3 minutes later, the ball rolled back in front of her grave," end quote. There are some theories about the haunting in the cemetery, some saying vandalism has contributed to the appearance of Spaulding's apparition, perhaps because she's there trying to clean it and make the place better, perhaps because the energy that's been put in there. Some claim that there are rituals performed at the gravesite. One ritual, Vodan, also known by its common name of voodoo. Locals claim that during these rituals, participants leave various items at the gravestones, including shiny coins. It is important to note that you should not remove anything from her grave or anyone's grave. Locals claim that if you remove the coins, you are inviting trouble to your health.
I'm sorry, Amelia. Can you repeat that little warning again, just for the people in the back?
don't take stuff from people's graves.
Period.
End.
If somebody goes by a headstone and leaves their little rock on the headstone, leave it there. Don't take it off of there.
Don't touch. Not for you.
Not yours.
Not
Find
for
your
you.
Own stone on the ground somewhere else and put it on your person's headstone.
Or take it home with you.
Yeah, whatever you want. But
yeah.
And if you go into like any pyramids or anything, don't run off with any stuff.
No, that's just rude.
Yeah.
So back to the story. Some people claim it's not just haunted by the lady in blue, but by demons. In November 1999, paranormal investigator Fiona Broom, who we will hear a lot about tonight, had a photographer named Nancy who worked with her often. Nancy and her daughter decided to visit Wilton's Vale End Cemetery as they were avid paranormal investigators and have heard the tale of the Blue Lady. They heard nothing but harmless stories. According to the tale, Nancy and her daughter went to investigate the grave of Spaulding. As they approached the headstone, something described as dark rose up from a nearby grave. They quickly drove off, so quickly, in fact, that they knocked one of their car mirrors off on a nearby tree. After they returned home, they called Broom. Nancy wanted to know if anything had ever followed people home from the graveyards, but Broom, of course, assured her that nothing would have. But turns out Broom may have actually been incorrect about that, because 5 days later, Nancy was found dead in her car in a parking lot in Wilton. After the autopsy, a coroner claimed it was a sudden heart attack that killed her, but she had no prior history of heart disease. After the news, Broom decided to return to the cemetery in the spring of 2000. According to her own account, she and her team approached the headstone and a figure appeared as a 3-foot-tall hairy humanoid. Broom described the figure as a Muppet or a Grover. She approached the figure.
Hang on. Yeah. Did you say a Muppet or a Grover?
Yeah. G-R-O-V-E-R. That's Grover, right?
Yeah. He's the blue one, right?
He's a Muppet. I know. That's kind of how I felt too when I first read this.
Well, no, he's not a Muppet. He's a Sesame Street. But okay,
But aren't Sesame Street's Muppets?
No, Jim Henson's were Muppets.
But it's like the same
idea. So like Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, they're Muppets.
But it's like the same idea.
Oh yeah, absolutely the same idea. Yeah. But it's like Marvel and DC Comics.
Okay. I don't know the difference between those either.
Paul's
tried to explain it to me a million times.
I'm sorry to all of you out there that heard me. Oh, no. So, no, I just couldn't make out what you would actually said. It was a Muppet or Grover. I'm like, what does that even mean?
I don't know.
Okay, sorry. Carry on.
She claimed she approached the figure and ran into what she could only describe as a force field. Broom photographed the figure and went to develop the photos, but they were completely black. One, however, showed vaguely a humanoid red blob of a figure. According to Broom, one of her colleagues turned the photo 180 degrees and it, quote, looked like the classic image of Satan. Broom explained on her blog that she will never, ever, ever return to Vale's End and will never talk about it again. So all that's pretty weird. And then as I was kind of doing more research, I found myself on nhtourguide.com. where I found this weird comment, quote, beware, the forest surrounding the cemetery has some interdimensional ripple occurrences that probably is the only reason for any of these hauntings. Things cross over. In some of these occurrences, the phenomena is harmless and neutral. In others, things that cross over will see you as prey and follow you. If you feel physically drained or feel your instincts kick in, leave immediately. If your electronics fail or batteries drain, leave immediately. Just south of here in Leominster State Forest seems to be an even bigger area for such phenomena. And even more southeast, the Bridgewater Triangle. They are related to similar phenomena. And for some unknown reasons, things from those places cross over and seem to have their own agenda. It is wise to beware. Such places exist around the world, almost like weaker spots in the fabric of time and space. And that's what I got on Vale End Cemetery in Wilton, New Hampshire.
Nice. I don't want to go there. I don't know anybody who's buried there. And even if I did, they're dead. I don't need to go see them. They won't know that I came. I don't need to go to a haunted cemetery.
All right, Beth, what do you got for us?
All right. So I'm a little ways up the hill here into New Hampshire. And so there's this street in Hollis, New Hampshire, and it constantly has these skid marks in front of it. And I don't mean that like occasionally there's a skid mark that's there, but like for the last 40 years, there have been consistently skid marks in front of this cemetery on this street. So in the 70s and 80s, it was a common idea that if you were going down the street and you slammed on your brakes and you looked in your rearview mirror, you would see Mary Blood in your rearview mirror. So I think it's similar to, we grew up here on the water, and we would often have sleepovers at night where you would say, you know, Bloody Mary in the mirror three times and you would see her. So it sounded like a similar thing to me. And so that went on in the 70s and 80s. And then as time has kind of changed and morphed, lately you've heard more and more about there's a little boy who either jumps out in front of your car as you're driving past the cemetery. So you have to jam on your brakes. Or he's standing on the side of the road and he flags you down. And when you stop to help him and kind of skid up because he appears very quickly, then he disappears. So this sounds very familiar to a lot of other stories we've talked about here on Ghost Hunting in New England. But so the cemetery that this happens to be in front of is called the Pine Hill Cemetery. Again, it's in Hollis, New Hampshire, but it's also referred to as Blood Cemetery. So you would think that a cemetery named Blood Cemetery would have some sort of like weird bloody massacre that happened there, that there'd be, you know, blood dripping from trees, or there'd, you know, be something big that happened. No, just happens to be named after a family. They were called the Blood family. And so the father,
which is weird.
I agree.
Which is really weird. Yeah. It's like a super weird name to have as your last name.
Yeah. And this would have been, so he died in 1867. So he only would have been born around 1800.
Like, how do you get the last name Blood?
I don't know. Anybody out there have the last name Blood? Call us and tell us about your heritage.
Imagine your last name was Blood and you were a doctor. And you were Dr. Blood. Think about it. And you were a gynecologist. Just kidding. That was an inappropriate joke. Okay, anyway. I guess I should have said you were a phlebotomist or something.
That would have been much better. I was trying to come up with a first name that would go with a phlebotomist joke for Blood. But
imagine your name was Richard and your last name was Blood.
That was actually the first name that I had gone to. And I'm like, that doesn't work.
Oh, gosh. I apologize to all the parents listening.
There's no parents listening to this. This is all getting cut out.
I'm keeping all of it.
All right. So Abel Blood. So one version of the story goes that Abel Blood was an axe murdering occult lunatic who went around and murdered people until he was finally taken down by some force in town that finally put him in his grave in 1867. So that's one version of the story. There, by the way, are absolutely no historical facts whatsoever that support that story, which is what makes it so funny that it's a story that's actually going around. Another story about the Blood family, right? If you go to the Pine Hill Cemetery, you will see the Blood family all lined up right in a row. They're all buried and they have their headstones. They go from, you know, father is tallest and then the mother is the next tallest headstone. And you see there's seven or eight of them right in a line right down to the children. And so the children have like these little headstones. Well, it doesn't mean that the children died when they were like small children. That was just the size of the headstone. You can tell by looking at the headstones that there was no like mass murder of this entire family. They didn't all die on the same day or anything. They were like reasonably spaced apart deaths that you would expect. So it's just a weird thing that's happened that people have hooked onto this Blood family as haunting the cemetery.
I mean, they got the name for it.
They definitely have the name for it. It's true. But they're not the ones haunting the cemetery. And it's just really funny that they have somehow been assigned responsibility for this.
Scapegoats.
The cemetery is most definitely haunted. So some of the things that people see there, they'll hear tapping sounds coming at them from every direction all around them. And there's no one there to be tapping. People out there will feel chills on warm days. Like just walking through cold spots out in the cemetery. They see orbs and flashes of light. People have reported that they've been out in the cemetery trying to take photos, and all of a sudden their camera will just not work at all for no reason, just won't work. This is both true with newer digital cameras and older cameras. So what's it called when you have to like advance the film?
It's called advancing the film.
Okay, so when you have to advance the film, the report, it was like they were like spinning the thing to make the film go forward, but there was no flash, like it wouldn't take a picture, it was just spinning. So, and then as soon as they walked out of the cemetery, got, you know, about 20 feet away, worked perfectly, no problems, weird stuff. There are reports of cars as they're driving by the cemetery, their radio stations will just kind of go wacky and change music. And people report most often that the music changes to like a dirge music, like some sort of just like blah, really like low, long, miserable sounding thing. Sad music.
Spooky.
Yeah. Gas gauges in cars also go a little wacky on this road. So those are just some of like the big reports that come from this general area. So there's clearly something going on. It's just the idea that it was being attributed to the Blood family is a little strange because they just have a spooky name. They don't actually have any reason to be haunting the cemetery. By all reports, Abel Blood himself was a upstanding Christian man. He took care of his family. He was a hard worker. He just did his thing. You know, nothing about being an occultist or any sort of mass murderer anywhere. So I ran across another fun story from a paranormal investigator story, I guess you could say. And so it's these two guys, and they had heard that there were some, you know, things that happened up at the cemetery. And so they went up there one night, they get there around midnight or so, and they're, you know, poking around, looking at this, looking at that. And one of the guys ends up seeing what's Abel Blood's headstone. Now, Abel Blood's headstone is kind of unique. It's reported to change significantly. So during the day, if you walk by it, it has a finger pointing to heaven. And if you walk by it at night, people report in the dark that the finger points to the ground.
Whoa, spooky. Right?
So yeah. So these guys are walking out, and so he comes across Abel's headstone, and he stands there for a minute, and he feels kind of weird, but then as he's watching, it's almost like, so it's not like a straight headstone either, like it's not just that the hand is like carved into it, but it's like elaborate, and it's like rounded, right? So when what appeared to be a dark brown liquid started pouring out of the finger on the headstone, there was like a little well underneath where it could catch all of this dark liquid. So it didn't just run straight down the front, but it was like being caught in the front. So our fearless paranormal investigator promptly pooped his pants and ran for the car, screaming in terror, while his friend like turned around like, what is happening? And his friend like jogs down to the car to meet our fearless investigator here. And, you know, the friend says, well, so what happened? Where is it? I want to go see it. And so I'm not going back in there. No way. But he tells him where it is. And so the friend goes over to see it. So our fearless investigator sitting in the car can see the friend looking at the stone, and said that the friend like got like kind of like shaky and a little jittery and turned to walk like back toward the car. And all of a sudden just tripped and fell out of nowhere, just like flomp, but didn't pause a second, almost like did like a stunt roll and like right to his feet, and was not necessarily sprinting for the car, but was not just running either. It was a fast move down to the car. And so when our fearless investigator asked, you know, why'd you trip? He said, somebody came up behind me and pushed me. So apparently it's now this story that the two of them have that in all the years since then, they have never gone back into that cemetery.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah, no, it seems like, again, like the one you were talking about, like nothing there that you need to see. No. So nobody's really sure exactly who is haunting the cemetery or anything like that. There are reports, though, of this little boy that is seen running around. So people aren't really sure who he is or where he came from, but he seems to be the apparition that's seen there the most often.
Cool. Good story.
Pine Hill Cemetery, Hollis, New Hampshire. I do not recommend that you go, but if you're going to go, write in and tell us about it.
GhostHuntingInNewEngland@gmail.com.
Yeah. Like she said.
So good story, Beth. My next story is Gilson Road Cemetery.
I was going to read about that one too, but it wasn't the one that I picked.
In Nashua, New Hampshire, there's a small cemetery containing a few unorganized gravestones and impressions on the ground that designate where other older graves probably stood at one time. According to cabinet.com, ghosts at this cemetery were first reported over a decade ago by Fiona Broom, the same paranormal investigator we talked about in our last story. And since then, the site has become a favorite gathering point for ghost hunters from all over the country. A notable gravestone is that of Walter Gilson, who died on August 28, 1811, aged 5 years, 8 months, and 25 days, as marked on his gravestone. One of the odd things about this stone is that there's a hole right in the middle of it, which measures approximately an inch in diameter. It's drilled directly into the center of the stone. Clearly, it is not the result of a gunshot, as there are no radiating cracks from around the center of the incision. It's a totally clean hole, as if someone had taken a drill to it. But based on the writing that goes along the gravestone, it's very obvious to observers that the hole was there prior to the stone being engraved. Many people now consider this hole to be a vortex where spirits enter from another dimension.
So people just saw a hole in a gravestone. Have they seen anything really weird going in or out of said hole in the gravestone that makes them think it's a vortex?
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff at this place.
Okay, you're going to tell us about that, right?
I'm leading up to that, yeah.
Okay, great. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
It's okay. But it's also worth noting that even though this child died in 1811, people still leave toys at his gravestone today. Like, it's a very kind of famous site in this town of Nashua, which is a pretty big town. Okay, so just up the road, people see a ghost of a colonial woman named Betty Gilson. And if you say aloud, Betty Gilson, I have your baby, she will appear in period clothing looking to retrieve her child. This has apparently caused many car accidents in the area because she will appear in front of your car or someone else's car. So don't do that because that's like horrific. Why would you do that?
That's okay. Just rude.
It's really rude. It's super rude and disrespectful and gross. Okay. So the story of how this cemetery came to be super haunted is shrouded in folklore. So it is said that some of the spirits of this place are still engaging in a fierce battle among the Native Americans that took the spot. And it is believed that the area was super sacred to the natives. And when the land was blessed, the spirits of the dead rose up and began to stalk the cemetery because it was like blessed by white people who came in. According to another legend, an insane medicine man in the area was banished to this portion of land and still haunts the place to this day. It is said that during his life, he would lure young braves there, promising to give them spirits that would aid them in battle. Instead, he would sacrifice the men to his own dark spirits and use their energy to prolong his own life. The Gilson boy, mentioned earlier, is also sometimes seen running across the road, disappearing the moment someone approaches him. So like you'll see a little boy running around and you'll go up to be like, are you okay? And disappears.
That's exactly the same thing that happens at Pine Hill Cemetery. And our cemeteries are not far from each other either.
I know. Spooky.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Photographs taken in the area show orbs, specters, other paranormal phenomena. There's reports of a ghostly woman in a white dress who's frequently seen wandering the perimeter of the site. There are a few rumors associated with that too. The first is that it's because the area surrounding the cemetery was used as a site for dumping murdered bodies, and that this woman was one of the unfortunate souls who ended up there. Another legend says that the stone wall surrounding the cemetery once enclosed a small farmhouse that burned down, killing all the people inside. These people were buried near the wreck remains of the house, and another house was built in the same location, but guess what? That also burned down and killed everyone inside that one too. And they're also supposed to be buried around there. According to nhtourguide.com, a quote, extremely credible source who doesn't want to be identified, end quote, saw a man dressed in old 1800 clothes sitting in the stone wall staring at him as he drove by. When he stopped about 300 feet down the road and turned around, the man was gone. He had no explanation for the sighting, but said this: it was one of the scariest things I ever saw. I was driving by, not thinking about anything, just listening to the radio. Something caught my eye, so I looked over at the cemetery, and there he was. There was no way a man could have walked or even ran that fast and not have been seen by the time I drove back. Paranormal is not something I usually believe in, but I have to be honest, this really freaked me out, and I will for sure never forget it. End quote. And that is the very spooky story of Gilson Road Cemetery in Nashua, New Hampshire.
Good story.
Thanks.
You have a whole bunch of ghosts at your cemetery.
Yeah.
I like how none of our ghosts at our cemeteries are really like obnoxious though, other than like jumping out in front of cars, but whatever.
Well, there's the demonic spirit that kills people, and that's pretty bad.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad none of my spirits were necessarily terrible. You got anything else this week?
Oh, I have one thing. Yeah, I do have one thing. So shout out to our listener, Rhonda, up in Canada, who is not the same Rhonda as Beth's mother, who also lives in Canada.
Wait, we have another Canadian Rhonda?
I cannot believe you don't know this, because Rhonda is a huge fan of our show and she sends us lots of stuff on Twitter and she's listened to every single episode. So thank you so much, Rhonda. She's a huge fan and she promotes us a lot. You know, like on Twitter and other places where it's like, what's a good podcast you like? She always rates us.
Oh, thanks, Rhonda.
Thanks, Rhonda. Yeah.
Which part of Canada is she from?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I do know because I had mentioned at one point that your mom lives on Prince Edward Island. So Rhonda writes, at Ghost Hunting NE, I don't know where to give reviews. I'm so lame, but I love you guys and think you have one of the best paranormal podcasts. Hashtag technologically challenged. Hashtag you're the best. Hashtag everyone should listen. Hashtag thanks for not swearing. So thanks so much, Rhonda. That's really nice. Because remember at the end of last episode, we were like, if you don't leave us a review, you're a freeloader. So she left us a review on Twitter.
Yay. Thanks, Rhonda.
We'll take it. It made my day. That was really nice.
Yeah, that was a very nice review.
But that's it. No one else left us a review.
The freeloaders. You know, Amelia and I might only do two more episodes this season and then take some time off if we can't get any reviews. Also, if we get lots of reviews, Amelia and I will do two more episodes this season before we take some time off.
Yeah.
This is it, kids. We are moving toward the finale. The
100th episode.
Yeah. Have we mentioned that?
We have mentioned that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just being a wise guy.
So, Beth, you got anything else?
No, I have nothing else. I have a desire to go home and go to bed.
Do you want to tell everyone about your blue nails?
I have blue nails because I'm going to Iceland. When you guys are listening to this, I will be, well, when this comes out on Wednesday, I will be at the airport getting on my plane to go to Iceland. I am going to Reykjavik and I'm going to do the Blue Lagoon and the Southern Tour and take a hike on a glacier. And I'm going to do the Golden Circle Tour. And then I just booked this today and I haven't told you about it, but I'm super excited. I booked a Reykjavik walking folklore tale.
Oh, that's a lot of fun.
Yes. So basically I'm going to have somebody show me all around Iceland the whole time I'm there.
Sweet.
Yeah. I just booked tours for everything. I'm like, this will make it easy. Anyway. So maybe next season there'll be an episode on ghost hunting in Iceland.
Icelandic folklore. I have a book on Icelandic folklore. I had this like pipe dream when the pandemic started that I was going to read Icelandic folklores as like a, it was like this like funny idea I had of like bedtime ghost hunting in New England stories where I would just like read a little like fun short thing, but it didn't come to fruition.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of pandemic projects that happened too. Like we had a lot of great ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want me to do contact information since you don't feel good or do you want to do it?
You can do it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you can contact us. ghosthuntinginnewengland.com. You can email us ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. We are on Facebook, Ghost Hunting in New England. We are on Instagram, Ghost Hunting in New England. Amelia masquerades as Ghost Hunting in New England on Twitter, Ghost Hunting NE.
You can follow me.
Yeah, make sure you go follow her. She talks about lots of stuff. Some of it's even ghosty.
And I show my Wordle scores if I get it in two.
If you get it in two.
I got it in two this week. And you know what? The next day, I didn't get it at all.
I
had a terrible day. So there you go.
What? Every time I've tried the Wordle, I've gotten it. I have 100%.
So does my husband.
Leave us a review on, where do we have reviews? Apple, Spotify, Audacity. No, on Audible. Not Audacity. That's what I use to edit. This is why Amelia always does the contact information, folks. I don't know how to get in touch with us. I just text Amelia, and if I give you her phone number, she might come over here and strangle me.
And don't give out my number.
I'm going to give out your number.
617.
I would have to look up your number. I just tell my phone, text Amelia.
Anyway, that's all the places you guys can find us. And as always,
happy hunting.